So today we're going to look at Padre Pio's devotion to Saint Michael the Archangel. Hello, my name is Edward Urban, and I present the YouTube channel Following Padre Pio, at which we look at the incredible life of the Capuchin monk and miracle worker, whose intercession is still so powerful today. So if you or a family member or friend is in need of some help in intercession, then please follow this channel, and you will be amazed at what Padre Pio can do for you. If you are new to our channel, then please do like, share and subscribe to our channel. But the best way to be involved in our Padre Pio apostolate is to enroll for our mass prayer intentions. Just see the little video clip at the end. Now we continue with the story. To look at who is Saint Michael the Archangel, we really need to start with the story of the fall of the angels. So God, in fact, created the angels even before the creation of the world, and he gave them an opportunity to demonstrate or to prove their love of God. Now, it's important to remember that when he created the angels, that they were not fully in his presence. They did not really see him face to face, we could say. They were aware of God in some ways, because seeing God face to face, in other words, the beatific vision, one would find God so attractive and the truth about him so overwhelming that, in fact, it would eliminate the ability to choose. So we can only imagine how beautiful God is, the beatific vision, how it must be when we look at the lives of the saints, some saints who've experienced God mystically, how they are transformed, so that no suffering becomes too great for them in order to follow God. Or, for instance, looking at the apostles, after seeing and knowing our Lord and getting to know God quite well, they were practically all willing to receive martyrdom. And that is why the angels could not have seen God face to face initially. At some time, to test their love, God gave all the angels a trial. We all have a trial, which is our walking on this earth, where we can prove our love for God. So these ideas, or this idea, comes from various sources. One of them being, of course, tradition in the church, handed down from the very beginning. Or from the ministry of exorcists, who expose some of these ideas that are unbearable for the devils to admit. And some of these ideas, such as the incarnation of the divine word, that is when Jesus became man, that is one such idea. Or his crucifixion on the cross, when God died on the cross, that's unbearable for the devils to admit. Or the very exalted position that Our Lady holds among creation as the mother of God. So admitting or seeing things like this drive the devils mad. And during an exorcism, their antipathy towards these ideas can be demonstrated very clearly. Now, it was against such ideas that Lucifer, who in fact was an angel full of glory and light, that he fell together with one third of the angels. So where does this idea come from? Well, the account of the battle fought in heaven between the angels, between good and evil, is summarized, in fact, in the book of the Apocalypse by St. John the Evangelist. It's also known as the book of Revelation. And there it states, there was a battle in heaven, and Michael and his angels had to fight the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. And there was no place in them for heaven anymore. So they were cast out of heaven. And it continues, then the great dragon, the primitive serpent, called Demon and Satan, the seducer of the whole world, was expelled. He was precipitated or thrown down to the earth together with his angels. And that comes from Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. Now, an exorcist priest, Jose Fortier, he explains that among the angels faithful to God, in the midst of all these struggles, there was one who stood out. And he says, this angel was not a superior angel. So we must remember, obviously, there's choirs or levels of angels. You have the superior ones with a greater intelligence, greater beauty on top. And Saint Michael was not from the very top. But his love of God was superior. And it was he who kept the flame of fidelity alive in the worst moments of the battle that raged between the angels, when it was dark and seemed that half of the angels would rebel. And he stood out in his faith and illuminated many. It was he who, in the darkest moments, in the most terrible hour of battle, when the crowds had begun to doubt, and in the midst of this general silence, Saint Michael shouted, "Who is like unto God?" And that is where he gets his name from, because in the biblical Hebrew, Mikael or Michael, Mikael stands for "Mi" is who, "Ki" is like, and "El" is God. Who is like to God? He thereby became an untiring, invincible fighter and protector. So Michael, or he's also known as Miguel, continues to stand out as a warrior. The light of his unrelenting love illuminates many, and his overwhelming love has overturned many who were fighting for error against God. Even those who fought with Lucifer recognize that no dart of theirs can penetrate the breastplate of Michael's unbreakable faith. It is in the midst of doubt that Saint Michael the Archangel is unbeatable. And so he is represented with a breastplate. Though he did not in fact carry a physical breastplate, it was a spiritual armor, impenetrable to these seductions launched by the wicked ones. And his only weapon is the sword of truth, the truth about God. Michael, in fact, knew God better than the intelligent ones because he loved God more. And it is for that reason that those fallen angels who went to meet him were obliged to retreat because he loved God more. And we can see how important love is in the Christian life. Now, how does this all link into Padre Pio's devotion to Saint Michael? Well, Padre Pio's devotion began way back in 1917 when he made a trip to the sanctuary of Saint Michael on Mount Gorgona. There is this incredible fact called the Sword of Saint Michael, and it is a number of monasteries which line up exactly in a line, in a straight line, from Ireland to the Holy Land. And they all have been dedicated to Saint Michael the Archangel. And it seems it was by chance, or it was by divine instruction, this Sword of Saint Michael exists. And this monastery that Padre Pio went to was just around the corner on the same mountain of Gorgona where Saint Giovanni Rotondo was. So he had been to that monastery. And there he developed a great devotion to Saint Michael, in addition to having an image or statue of Saint Michael on his desk. The Capuchin saint also recommended this devotion to Saint Michael to all of his spiritual children. So to demonstrate this, we can now look at these two cases. The first case, there was a person called Enresha Spinelli who tells us that in the early 1950s, his brother, he said, my brother, Francis, made the journey from Naples to St. Giovanni Rotondo in order to see Padre Pio. And he managed to confess to Padre Pio, and he told Padre Pio that he wanted to join the Marines. So he had this desire then of joining the Marines, but he was worried they would not accept him because he had a heart condition. So Padre Pio looked at him with his penetrating gaze and said, "You go, capish," or "you go, understand." And then at the end of the confession, Padre Pio told my brother to pray to Saint Michael the Archangel. He said to my brother, "Michael is his name too." So his brother's middle name turned out to be Michael, and he was very surprised that Padre Pio knew his middle name. So as he left the confessional, he said to everyone, "I cannot believe it. He knew my name." And then he continues, "My brother enlisted for the Navy, and on the day of his medical exam, there were many people taking the exam. When they called my brother's name, he was told, 'Tu vai, you go.' So they told him exactly the same words that Padre Pio had used." So isn't that incredible? And evidently, he looked so healthy that he was acceptable. He was accepted even without a physical examination. And he says that his brother had a wonderful career in the Navy, working in the field of shortwave communications, and he traveled all over the world and was never bothered by his heart problems. My brother turned 82 in 2007, and he told me that as long as he lives, he can never forget the way that Padre Pio looked at him with those beautiful, piercing eyes that almost seemed to see into the future. The second account is by a Cleonice Marcoldi, who was a spiritual daughter of Padre Pio. And this is what she said. "One afternoon, I'd remained behind in the church until the end of the Ave Marias. And she had lost track of time a little bit. She did not realize that she was alone. And so when she left, the streets were completely empty. There was no one else on the streets. But the night was calm and serene. So she was walking along in the city, when suddenly she came to this oak tree, and there she heard a fierce wind, and the leaves rattled and shook violently. She said it really startled her, and she perceived that there was something mysterious and frightening about this whole thing. And she started to think that it was surely the devil. She walked faster, and she kept asking or invoking Saint Michael to please help her, until she arrived at home. Later on, when she saw Padre Pio, she told him about this incident. And Padre Pio said, 'It was not just one demon, but a whole legion of demons. And you must thank Saint Michael because he put them to flight.'" So now, if Padre Pio advised his children that when they were in danger, they should invoke or call upon the help of Saint Michael, then isn't that advice good for us too? And there are many prayers to Saint Michael. The top video here is our favorite video, and it is highly recommended. Directly below is the video recommended specially for you. And following right here will be how to enroll your Mass prayer intentions for Padre Pio's special Mass.